How to communicate worldwide on 1 watt in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is the Rain Report, the weekly podcast of Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR.
Ham radio is all about experimentation and doing new things. And if you just look at the amount of excitement that has grown around FT8, it's really been phenomenal.
That's Warren Pugh, KC9IL, who has worked the world digitally using FT8, the newest craze in amateur radio digital modes. Rain's Hap Holly, KC9RP, spoke with Warren via Skype about FT8 and the evolution of digital modes in general.
PSK31 was developed, I believe, in the late 90s by Peter Martinez, a UK ham. That was probably one of the early popular digital modes. There have been other digital modes before that, but for whatever reason, PSK31 became fairly popular because it's chatty. You can do more than just name, rank, and serial number. And that took off through, you know, the 2000s. And I think I got on probably 1999. And that was probably the most popular. You know, there are these other modes, some of which were invented by the same guy who invented FSQ, for example, the Fast Simple QSO. But all told, there's probably a couple of dozen or so of these digital modes that are out there. And some of them have variations of speed and data rates. For example, one of them's got 5 or 6 different choices in the one mode, depending on how deep into the noise you want to try to go. But the JT modes, the first one was JT65, and that was released in 2003 by Joe Taylor, intended primarily for meteor scatter and moon bounce. He was a fan of that. So that was his first one. But actually, his software, the WSJT, was not viewed to be very slick. There was actually another fellow out in California who developed a product called JT65HF that more people used. And in fact, that's what I used. So I didn't start using Joe Taylor's software till maybe 5 years or so ago. JT65 was the first one. And then in 2012, he released JT9, which has significantly narrower bandwidth, a little bit better sensitivity, maybe a dB or two. But it also offered longer duty cycles. For JT65 is a 1 minute cycle. And in that minute, you're transmitting for about 47 seconds. And then the last 13 seconds, your computer is decoding. And then you're going to decide, what are you going to do next? Am I going to answer this guy, or am I going to send the signal report? But it offered cycles from a 5 minute QSO to up to a 30 minute cycle. So if you've got all day to make a contact, you can do that, but it can get significantly deeper into the noise. So that was probably the most popular of the Joe Taylor modes since 2012. And then this year, the release of FT8. It's not a JT, it's an FT. If you go look at the JT65 and the JT9 segments of the band, you wonder where everybody went. And they've gone to the FT8 segment. I started experimenting with FT8, I think it was in July of this year when the beta release became known. Testing was going on for a number of months before that, but it leaked out that this version of WSJTX was available for download. So I, along with probably hundreds or more, downloaded it, fired it up, and we were already familiar with how it worked because of the JT65 and JT9. So the learning curve was very easy. One of the principal complaints with JT9 and JT65 is with that 1 minute transmit and receive cycle, and since you're only exchanging basic information like call sign, grid square, signal report, 73, it can take about 5 minutes to complete a contact. And a lot can happen in 5 minutes. The bands can change, especially in the VHF bands. An opening could close. So there was a kind of a groundswell for something quicker. FT8 uses a 15-second transmit and receive cycle. So you can complete a full FT8 QSO in a minute and a half. So that lends itself better to the VHF modes where the bands are changing quickly, but also to the rest of us who are a little ADD and, you know, come on, let's get this contact done with so I can move on to the next. So it speeds it up a lot. And I think that has had a lot to do with it. It's not quite as sensitive as JT9 and JT65, but it's close enough that it still works extremely well.
How is it that FT8 is so much faster?
And not knowing everything that's going on under the hood, I think what Joe Taylor did was change the way the data is being transmitted and being validated. For example, with JT9 and JT65, the transmission has to complete before the software starts to decode what was sent. My understanding is in FT8, some of that work is being done during the transmission. So the time delay from when the transmission's completed and the decoded information shows up on your screen is much quicker in FT8.
You're listening to a conversation between Warren Pugh, KC9IL, and Rains Hapali, KC9RP, exploring the digital mode FT8, its pluses and minuses. We'll resume Warren's digital observations in a moment. This is the Rain Report, available 24/7 on therainreport.com and heard as part of the Saturday night amateur radio block on shortwave station WTWW on 5085 kilohertz. We'll be right back. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
I believe the way he's been able to make it faster is to streamline the way the decoding is going on so that several seconds, maybe up to 5 seconds, that was required with JT9 and JT65 had to be quicker, because with FT8, the transmission is 13 and a half seconds out of the 15. So it's very quick turnaround in between transmissions. So part of it is that decoding is going on during the transmission and just improvements in the algorithm that he used. And again, not familiar with what goes on under the hood, but he was able to make it quicker. But the one thing I have noticed is the requirement for computer CPU has been greatly reduced. I've found that a little netbook with a 1.4 Atom processor can decode all 20 or so signals in the passband very efficiently. You know, that little laptop could not do that with JT9 and JT65. So he has reduced the processing power required to do the decode. He has given the computer a head start. And when you combine all those, it allows that decode to happen much quicker. And he's just shortened the amount of time needed. JT9, JT65 had a 47-second transmit cycle. And I got to believe that data was being repeated over that 47 seconds to accommodate maybe fading or band noise or what have you, where now it's being accomplished in a 13-second cycle. All these efficiencies that Joe put into the protocol has resulted in being able to make it 4 times faster.
One of the real benefits of the digital modes is the fact that you can establish a contact with someone, even though the conditions may be not just marginal, but practically non-existent.
So that's a great point. I think one of the main draws of digital modes, certainly it's very appealing to the younger hams in the hobby. As soon as you involve a computer, there's this instant magnetism. But from a practical standpoint, you can work much weaker signals. And the implications for hams who don't have the ability to run big antennas and high power. Think someone who lives in a homeowners association controlled environment where you can't put up a big wire or a big vertical and you need to have something more stealth. That 10 to 15 dB advantage over more traditional modes can make the difference between making a contact or not. If you look at a number of signals that the software grabbed over the course of an hour, what modes could you work these people? If you were only trying to work single sideband, you would only be able to get maybe 7% of those signals. Only the very strongest ones, because single sideband
really only works at about plus 5 dB signal to noise. So only 7% if you're a sideband person. If you go to something like CW, you get about half of those signals. So of all the signal activity that was there using traditional modes, half of them you wouldn't even be able to hear and you wouldn't be able to work them. Where CW works to about minus 10 dB signal to noise if you've got a really good set of ears and good headphones, FT8 will go minus 24 dB. So that additional 13, 14 dB, that's the equivalent half of going from 100 watts down to 5. And in a lot of cases, you hear people, they're running 1 watt or less. And especially now with the solar cycle being what it is and the band conditions not being, you know, terribly good, you still see a lot of activity in the JTs and FT parts of the bands where you're not hearing anything anywhere else. You can flip on 20 meters in the evening and really not hear much voice activity going on. But if you go to 14.074, there's a whole bunch of signals there. It opens up the opportunity to work HF, stateside, and DX to people who have much more modest stations.
And that concludes our first excerpt from a Skype conversation between Rains Hapali, KC9RP, and digital devotee Warren Pugh, KC9IL. We'll learn more about the most popular digital mode these days, FT8, next time. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2017 Rain. All rights are reserved. Now for our FT8 aficionados, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Rain Report. Available wherever you are on www.therainreport.com, as well as Saturday nights on shortwave via WTWW, 5,085 kilohertz from the southern state of Tennessee. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. Keep on hamming.